Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We've been bringing these messages for 20 years now, and we thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener. If this is your first time listening today, we say thank you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We say thank you to you, and we hope you also continue to come back each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about worries of the world, dealing with stress and anxiety. So this is an appropriate subject for just about everybody. We live in a very stressful time, and we live in a time when people are turning to drugs, turning to alcohol, turning to all kinds of crutches to help them get through each and every day. And so this will be an interesting subject and an interesting message to everybody out there listening. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 22. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update what's going on in Africa. We are in progress building a school, a primary school in Makunda Village. That's the focus of the ministry right now. And we want to build a school for 200 to 300 students there in Makunda. Many of the children in Makunda don't make it past fourth grade, some sixth grade, eighth grade, but it's a great dropout rate. Many of them are Muslim, different faith, and so we want to bring them into a primary school that is Christian-based, and we can put them in a Christian environment, pray for them, teach them scripture, teach them Bible stories, and have the children in a great environment as they learn their basic education ABCs. So if you would be interested in supporting this project, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can talk about the details. Somebody out there listening to me today, you can help us with this project, and God will be blessed. You will be blessed. Put your money to work. Store up your treasures in heaven, and there your heart will be also. Well, today we're going to be talking about worries of the world. Last week we talked about the parable of the sower, and one of the issues about the parable of the sower, one of the types of soil was the thorny ground, and in that thorny ground the word was sown, the seed was sown, and it started to grow up. It had a root, and it started to grow, and at the same time that it was starting to grow, also thorns came in, and they choked out the word, and they choked it to the point where the word could not thrive, the word could not grow, and so the word eventually got choked out of the person's heart, and the person then produced no fruit, fell away from their pursuit of the kingdom, fell away to the point where they were of no value to the kingdom. Well, the thorny ground represents the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. That's what the Bible says, Matthew 13, verse 22. And the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world, or the worry of this age, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so you have to be aware and be wary of the worries of the world taking over your life and the deceitfulness of riches, because they will choke out the growth of the Word of God in your life. And so as I came back here from Africa, I do that every year, come back here for 2 or 3 months to speak in churches and to visit supporters, visit my family. And so you have to see it from the point of view of somebody who doesn't live here. And as I come back here from Africa, I see that people's focus has taken them away from the kingdom of God. And so if this is speaking to you today, if it is speaking to your heart that you have lost your focus on the kingdom of God, and you have shifted all of your energy, shifted all of your time, shifted all of your resources to material pursuits and the pursuits of the world, the desire to have riches, the desire to accumulate things, all of these things then become a factor, become an important reason why a person cannot serve and cannot pursue the kingdom of God in their life. And so their life becomes very unbalanced. They become consumed with stress. They become consumed with trying to accumulate material things, and the stress starts to overcome them, and they compensate in their life with drugs. They compensate with legal drugs. They compensate with drinking alcohol, with all kinds of aberrations, with all kinds of pursuits, hobbies that consume them and take them away from the kingdom of God. And so God speaks to this because Jesus knew that this was going to be an issue. Jesus knew that at some point in time, and it must have been an issue back in his day as well, because he was preaching about it way back 2,000 years ago. Well, in Matthew 24, verse 6, this is the sermon where Jesus comes out of the temple. The Olivet Discourse is what it's called. Jesus is talking to the disciples as he comes out of the temple. And he says, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, but in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name." And then in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the whole world as a witness to the nations, and then the end shall come." And so people say, well, we're in the end times. That's true. We are in the end times. In my opinion of studying God's Word, I believe the end times started in 1948 when the nation of Israel was brought back together and planted back on their own land there where the nation of Israel exists today. But we are in a time of birth pangs. Jesus said, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Well, you know, when a lady goes into birth pangs, first the pangs are very slow. Happens every 15 or 20 minutes, maybe every 30 minutes, and is preparing the lady for birth of the new child. And so we are in a time of birth pangs. The birth pangs then get stronger. They get more frequent. They're closer together. They're more powerful. As the mother prepares to push out the baby, the birth pangs then get very strong. They get very powerful, and they get very frequent, very close together. And then comes the push, and the push then brings the result of a new baby into the earth. Well, that will happen eventually. The birth pangs will get closer and closer together, the birth pangs of this world, and they will get more powerful, and the push then will result in the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation then will result in the Antichrist taking his seat in the temple at the midpoint of the tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation, there will be a return of Jesus to the earth with the saints. Revelation chapter 20, Jesus comes back with the saints to institute the millennial reign, a new heaven, new earth, then happens after that. All of this is a sequential chronological order, and it all takes place at the end of the age. But at this point in time, we're not at the end of the book of Revelation. If you know the book of Revelation, it's a sequential chronological order of events, turns into a very chaotic time in the Great Tribulation, but now we are in the birth pangs. We're leading up to the final events of the age. We're leading up to the culmination of the events of the age, the culmination of life here on this earth as we know it today, and the culmination results in the coming back of Jesus Christ to institute the millennial reign. That's Revelation chapter 20, and you can read that and study it for yourself. We're not going to talk about it much today, but study it for yourself. Revelation chapter 20, the millennial reign. Well, it says then, verse 14, Matthew chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a witness to the nations, and then the end shall come. And so our most important mission for today, especially those of us who are preachers, those of us who are evangelists, those of us who work in the fivefold ministry, our most important mission today is to preach the gospel, preach the good word, the good news that Jesus saves, preach it to the whole world as a witness to the nations, and then the end shall come. And so Jesus warned us that it's going to be a time of tumult, it's going to be a time of birth pangs, it's going to be a time when things get more and more intense as we get closer to the end of the age. But at the same time, we have to focus on preaching. That's why I'm bringing these messages to you on the radio each and every Sunday. We have to focus on getting the good word out, because there are many millions and billions of people across the earth who have not heard a good presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have not heard a clear presentation. They don't know what salvation means. They don't know what it means to repent and be baptized. And so it's our mission, it's our charge, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the Great Commission as he was telling the disciples, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. And then Jesus handed that authority over to the disciples, and he said, go unto all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that is our commission. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great idea. It's the Great Commission. We are commissioned to take the gospel to the nations, take the gospel to your neighbor, take the gospel down the road to the next village. And so if you're not doing that, if you are a believer and you're not sharing the gospel, you're not taking the gospel to the nations, you need to start doing that. You need to pray. Ask God to show you what you can do. Ask God to show you how you can take the gospel to your family, take the gospel to your workplace, take the gospel to the next town, the next state. Maybe you are called to be a minister. Maybe you're called to be a pastor or a teacher. Take the gospel wherever God shows you and calls you to do it. Take the gospel so that people can know that you are saved, so that people can know they can be saved, and they are ready also then for the end of the age. Well, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about anxiety, and he takes this up in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Well, Paul was writing these words from prison. He had a lot of reason to be anxious. He had a lot of reason to be discouraged and be in depression and despair. And yet he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Well, through prayer, you need to pray each and every day, not just the Lord's Prayer, not just now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, get off by yourself in your secret place, in your quiet place, and pray to the Lord. It's fine to ask him for your daily bread. It's fine to ask him for money to pay for your house payment, pay for your car payment, maybe pay for school fees, clothing, whatever it is you need. It's fine to ask the Lord for that. That is your daily bread. But also spend time in prayer asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins. Also deal with people that are coming against you, people that are warring against you in the spirit. Forgive them of their sins. Forgive them of their desire to hurt you or harm you in any way. And so spend time in prayer. And it is communicating with God. It is communion with God. It is positioning yourself with God, before God, humbling yourself before God. And so you need to spend time in prayer each and every day. If you're consumed with anxiety, you need to increase your prayer life. If you're consumed with stress and worry about how God is going to provide for you, or if anybody is going to provide for you, you need to spend time in prayer and turn it over to God. Turn your anxiety and your worry and your stress over to God. And so Paul says, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Well, what is supplication? That is a big word, and it means simply a plea for mercy. We need to plea for mercy with God. We have no legitimate standing, you could say. We have no legitimate standing. We have no right to demand anything from God, just like you didn't know how you were going to be born. You didn't know what family or what nation or what state you were going to be born into, what social status you were going to be born into. We have no right to demand any of those things from God. And so we plea for mercy. That's supplication. God, we come before you. God, we have no right to expect anything or ask anything. You have given us life. We have been created in your image. And so we have no rights other than, God, we owe you everything that you have given us. We owe you the breath that we breathe. This is the air we breathe. We owe you the sunshine that strikes on our face and shines on our crops. We owe you the rain, and we need rain. So let's pray for rain today also. We owe you the rain. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We pray for more rain. Father, we thank you that you have not forgotten us, that you're going to bring rain and soak this wheat and soak the crops that are here in Northwest Kansas. And so we plead for mercy. We thank you, God. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for listening to us and our cries and our pleas and our begging at times and our praise and our worship. And so that is supplication, that we plead for mercy from an almighty God. Who are we that you are mindful of us, that you are mindful of us, that you care about us? Cast all of your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. He cares for every detail of your life. And so if you're out there today and you're consumed with stress and you're taking anti-anxiety medication, or you're taking all kinds of medication to deal with your stress, high blood pressure, understand this: God cares about every detail of your life, and he knows every detail of your life. He knows you're going out, he knows you're coming in, he knows when you are short of money, he knows when your body is full of pain. And so trust the Lord that he cares. And so that is the important reason why you have to pray. Continue to thank God, praise him, pray believing as if you've already received, pray with supplication that you understand God doesn't owe you anything. He gave you life. He also gave you the opportunity of salvation. the joy of salvation. The joy of the Lord is your peace. And so in verse 7 there in Philippians 4, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." And so when you think about peace, we think about Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Beloved, the world can't give you peace if you're spending all your time focused on things of the world, if you're spending all your time looking at the news and looking at the trauma and the events of the world. You're not going to have any peace. You have to spend time in God's Word. You have to spend time praying with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You have to spend time on your knees thanking the Lord. You have to spend time studying God's Word, and then you will have peace, because that peace comes from Jesus Christ. It's personal peace, not necessarily peace on the earth. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword, and I'm going to divide mother from daughter, and I'm going to divide father from son and brother from sister." So Jesus didn't come to bring earthly peace over the whole world. What he came for was to shed his perfect, precious blood, that you could have peace in your life, knowing that no matter what happens, Jesus is with you. No matter what happens, God is in control. No matter what happens on the earth, you have a heavenly home. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a heavenly home, and you have salvation. The moment your eyes close here on this earth, you will be transported to your heavenly home. The angels of God will transport you. That peace that passes all understanding comes from the fact that you know you will never die. Jesus said, "If you know me and you believe in me, even if you die, you shall live." And so that is what we have to believe. That is what we trust. Beloved, if you believe that with your whole heart, it will take the anxiety out of your life. You will not be anxious about your death, and you will not be anxious about your life. Well, anxiety, point three, anxiety is fear. What are you afraid of today? Fear of lack, fear of lack of money, fear of lack of a job, fear of loss. Maybe you're afraid you're going to lose your mother, afraid you're going to lose your father. Maybe you're afraid you're going to lose your husband or your wife. Fear of the unknown, fear of losing salvation, not being good enough to meet someone's expectation, or not being good enough to live up to God's expectation for your life. Beloved, increase your faith. Increase your faith. Lack of faith is what brings fear into a person's life. You can get over that lack of faith by trusting God in every situation in your life. Trusting God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, this is the Apostle Paul also. He says, "A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For the natural things are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Beloved, for the believers, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have been baptized, you have repented of your sins, beloved, you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You now have the mind of Christ. You don't have to depend on the drugs of the world, the drugs of the pharmacy, to keep your mind straight. You have the mind of Christ. You pray every day. You pray with supplication. You pray with thanksgiving. You pray trusting. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. Trust him. in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. And so when you trust the Lord, you will have the mind of Christ. Your mind will not be consumed with the worries of the world. Your mind will not be consumed with thinking about how to accumulate riches, how to accumulate this, how to accumulate all the material things. Here in America, that seems to be the primary pursuit of many, many people. And so I want to give you just a few proverbs here to close today, how to guard your mind and your heart. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord God Almighty. Keep your eyes on the mission and the charge that he has given you. Don't get distracted and start looking at everything else that's going on in the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will take you through the times, the perilous times that we are in. Proverbs 4:26, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Keep your feet walking in the good way. Keep your feet walking in the way that God has given you, and you will be established. You will be staying on that right path. Proverbs 4:27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your feet away from evil. In other words, stay busy. Stay on that good path God has given you. Stay on that righteous path, that wonderful place that God has given you. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Beloved, seek your peace in Jesus Christ. Seek your peace in the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, and he will provide for you. He will establish you, and the days will swiftly go by as you honor the Lord and bless the Lord with your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We bless the Lord for that. You can contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Help support this ministry. Contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can see us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rowell. You can also make a donation through PayPal at paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can also check us out on our website, GatheredTheOutcast.com. Make a donation there with your debit or your credit card. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.